Since Tuesday, the nation has been closely following leadership uncertainty playing out in the Liberal Party. As of this morning, it seems likely that Malcolm Turnbull will not be the leader of the country by the end of the day. Joining us now to speak about this chaos and put it into a broader context is historian from the Australian National University, Frank Bongiorno. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Sophie. How are you this morning?
I'm very well. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
So how does this chaos we've seen over the past few days compare in the history of our federal politics?
I think it's certainly the messiest leadership challenge and crisis we've seen. I mean, we've had, you know, prime ministers tipped out of office by their own party going back, well, right to Billy Hughes in the 1920s, but I think they were handled with a bit more aplomb than what we've seen in the last few days with mass resignations of ministers and Parliament being shut down and just a general sense of disorder and chaos. I think this is by far the messiest and perhaps the bitterest, but certainly the messiest we've seen.
Well, on that note, what do you think makes it so unique, this particular leadership crisis that we're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a few things. One of them is the state of the House of Representatives itself, which is very finely balanced, and it seems to have gradually dawned on some of the key players, although they were slow, as far as I can see, that they could actually have a problem on the floor of the House in terms of numbers if they make a wrong move in the party room. This is a government that has a tiny majority. It is potentially going to be dependent on the support of at least part of the crossbench on issues of confidence and supply, that is effectively budget-type bills. So I think that's been a part of the issue, the fact that the Parliament itself is so finely balanced with a number of MPs, particularly in the National Party, seemingly very restless about the ways in which the leadership crisis is going. But I think another factor has been the number of kind of what I've called external meddlers. You have a pretty well-developed network of radio shock jocks, op-ed columnists, Sky News commentators and all the rest of it. Much of it, I think, in News Corp, in the Murdoch press, that are really players in this. I think Chris Yuleman from Channel 9 has made this point just in the last few days that they are very much players. They're not just observers. And I think that has given a kind of extra sharpness and potency to some of the conflict that's going on.
And Frank, is there any way that the government can come out of this relatively unscathed?
No, not unscathed. I think it's done an enormous amount of damage to itself. I mean, to my mind, it looks like a government in a sort of advanced senility or decay at the moment, to be perfectly honest. And I think it did itself an enormous amount of damage yesterday. I mean, those images of a kind of empty front bench and basically the Parliament in disarray, the moments where it was effectively shut down by the government using its very slight majority to do so. I think those images will live on, and they'll I think continue to do damage to the government right up to election day, whenever that happens to be. It could be sooner, it could be later.
We're speaking with Frank Bongiorno, a historian from Australian National University. Now, Frank, you mentioned before the impact that certain media organisations have had on this particular leadership spill. Do you think that that media is a major difference in the way that we've seen this play out in recent years compared to the past?
Yeah, Tom, I think that's right. It's obviously the 24/7 media means that there is a growing level of scrutiny of at least the sort of the pyrotechnics of politics. I'm not sure it's necessarily led to greater scrutiny of policy, but it's certainly led to greater scrutiny of, you know, those visible antagonistic dimensions of politics, the kind of politics of sport or game. And I think that has certainly been a factor, but so too has been an aspect of the media, and that's the virtually continuous polling. The Australian's News Poll, I think, has been done fortnightly, it went fortnightly, I think, in the early 1990s, and that now has become almost a kind of a how would you put it, a sort of a marker each fortnight of how the government's going, how the Prime Minister's going. The parties themselves, of course, are always undertaking their own polling and focus group research. Poll results and focus group research will be leaked as a part of a kind of factional conflict within political parties. I mean, we saw that with the Labor Party some years ago. It's you know, a part of the way the sort of political class operates here in Canberra now. So I think that the media does play a significant role in this. Social media, Twitter in particular, I think has given an even more febrile atmosphere to these sorts of events. I mean, that's, I think, how a lot of people were probably following yesterday's events, you know, sort of looking at Twitter on their phones or on their desktops just to see what was going on, and often getting, you know, sometimes false, sometimes exaggerated accounts, but you know, all of that, of course, contributing to the general environment and atmosphere of chaos around the leadership crisis.
And does this highlight a democratic problem within our system?
Does it reflect a democratic problem? I think there's a fundamental problem now that when people go to elections, we know this from the research. So my own university does a thing called Australian Election Study, and we know from that research that people look very closely at leaders when they vote at election time. They see the leaders as really the kind of brand for the party. They make judgments about party, they make judgments about policy by looking at who is leading it. So they kind of see themselves as voting for a particular prime minister and a particular leader. And then they're confronted with something like yesterday, where the public is treated almost as an irrelevance to who becomes prime minister. And we'll see the same sort of thing today. That is a problem of democratic legitimacy in politics, I think, because a lot of people will quite naturally feel very alienated from a system that, on the one hand, seems to make them king, makes the people king, and yet, on the other hand, when convenient, basically shuts them out of key decision-making processes. I mean, it's striking, I think, that the Labor Party has had a few years of leadership stability, and one of the reasons for that is that it's at least given members of that party a vote for the party leader. And I think that's been a striking difference, and has given a kind of, I suppose you'd say, a kind of an insulation to Bill Shorten. You know, it's very difficult now, the transactional costs of getting rid of a political leader, a prime minister, a leader of the opposition from the Labor Party are now very high, whereas the bar is set much lower in the case of the Liberal Party.
Well, without asking you to speculate too much, obviously a lot is still unclear as the going-ons for today, but do you see it likely that the Liberal Party will introduce a similar sort of processes in the choosing of the leader of their party?
Additionally, I was thinking about this the other day. It doesn't, as far as I'm aware, I mean, I'm not terribly familiar with the internal workings of the Liberal Party in that sense, and it doesn't seem to have been much of a debate within the Liberal Party. I mean, there seems to be a real insistence there on the kind of sovereignty of the parliamentary party, you know, its right to make decisions about these kinds of things. So it'll be interesting, because the contrast, I think, is now very sharp between those two parties. And one, I mean, it's not the only reason, I suspect, but certainly one of the reasons is they're operating under different rules. So it will be interesting to see whether, I think, the sheer bloodiness of this crisis does, in fact, lead to some changes on the Liberal Party side.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Frank.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Great to talk to you both.
Thank you. Frank Bongiorno, historian at Australian National University, speaking with us about the leadership turmoil we've seen unfold over the last few days.
You're on Breakfast. This is Loose Tooth with You Say.